Okay, everyone, we're going to go ahead and get going today. Welcome to the April edition of the Search Engine News Masterclass. This month, we're very excited to have Mary Bowling, our resident local SEO expert, in-house again to give you another great presentation. You can see by the slide, hopefully, that the title of her presentation is Winning the Battle Against Big Brands. Mary spent a lot of time putting this together, lots of fantastic information, and the premise that she's formulated it around is that big competitors have these perceived advantages that can often mask their own even bigger disadvantages. So her point today in the presentation is to get you across the premise that although it's true that big brands have some natural advantages in online marketing, you don't want to give up the fight regardless of your niche. And she's going to look at what the typical weak spots are that large multi-locational companies tend to have and discuss, and how you as a smaller local business can successfully battle these giants using more successful and more agile tactics. She's going to talk about the small to medium business advantages in getting and using localized expert content, authentic social media, real reviews, and using the power of clear guarantees to leverage that to future success. So we're going to get going on that in a couple minutes. For those of you who are just joining us, again, welcome. Make sure that you have something that you can hear the audio really well. It's also National Burrito Day. I know that's very important for many of you on the call. I know it's important to me. And without any further ado, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our speaker today, the renowned, very humble, and always a delight, Mary Bowling. Mary, take it away.
Thank you, Casey. I have a real soft spot in my heart for small businesses. I've been a small business owner pretty much all my life. And I really, one of the reasons that I specialize in local search and got into it was because I felt like at the time that small businesses had a really terrible disadvantage in Google against big brands. And Google at one point realized it themselves, and that's why they came up with this whole idea of local search. but today, as Casey said, what I'm mostly going to talk about are things that I've found in my experience, ways that small businesses can really get the upper hand, even if they're battling against a big brand. And a lot of times, small businesses have to compete against big brands, and they feel like there's nothing they can do to beat them out. They just feel like there's this huge brand hovering over them that's just absolutely going to crush them. But that's not really the case. The more you work with big companies, the more you realize how messed up they can be. And this picture kind of reflects the way I tend to think of large multi-location enterprises. There's a lot of big shots at corporate that are standing around trying to figure out how they can help all of the locations thrive. And, you know, the guys down at the location level all are just huddled up hoping it all works out for them, hoping they get what they need from corporate. And just like some SEO agencies, some in-house teams spend more time justifying their existence to their local operators than they actually spend doing useful work for those locations. And most big brands, in my opinion, are institutionally crippled. They're slow, they're inflexible. Different departments rarely work together as they should. A lot of times they have the e-commerce side and the local SEO side competing for resources when they really should be cooperating with each other. But as a small local business with all that corporate top heaviness, you know, you can be quite flexible. You can also be very fast and nimble and change direction quickly when you need to. You can stay really focused on just your one location or a few locations and markets, whereas big brands are sometimes dealing with hundreds or thousands of different locations that they're trying to help all rank against all different types of competition. So your overall strategy when thinking about how am I going to compete against this big brand is exploitation. You really need to look for their weaknesses and then work to exploit those weaknesses to the absolute maximum. So this is not something that's going to be the same for every business, and it's not going to be the same with every competitor. But if you have competitors that are big brands that are kicking your butt, then you really need to spend some time trying to find those weaknesses so that you can exploit them. First, I'm going to talk about the technical aspect of SEO. And this is a place where we assume that large companies have us beat. I mean, after all, don't they have professional developers? Don't they have SEOs on their staff? Don't most of them have huge budgets compared to what most individual small businesses have? You know, so we assume that they're going to crush us in this area as well. But the truth is, and Bill Murphy Jr. said this in Inc. magazine, sometimes big competitors' perceived advantages can often mask their even bigger disadvantages. And that's what we want to do, is try and find those places where they are disadvantaged. And this is kind of an interesting study that they did at Moz, where they surveyed several dozen big brands. They asked them how long they've been waiting for the one technical change that they feel is most important to get done. This is really astounding when you look at it. Notice there's no section in the pie graph for blue. Nobody gets it done in under a month, even if it's the most important change that they'd like to have made on the website. 79% of them said they have to wait longer than 6 months to get their most important change made on the website. And a quarter of them said they have to wait longer than 2 years. So even when they know they have problems and they need to make changes, they are extremely slow in making that happen. But when things change as a small business, you can react really quickly, and you need to take advantage of that. We also tend to think that big brands have good professional SEOs available to them. But I don't think that that's always a correct assumption to make either. I've talked to a lot of people who are in charge of SEO at big brands, and many of them have really very little SEO background. They've taken one of their developers and told them to go out and try to learn SEO on their own. In this particular example, there's 7 coffee shops in the town where I live. And here are the 3 that get a place in the local pack results. And every single one of them are small one-location shops. But you know what? We have Starbucks in my town too. And they are not getting in that local pack. Why is that? Here's how the pages for those locations are optimized on the Starbucks site. The actual location pages have no ranking potential whatsoever. One of them has page authority of 1. The main page that's supposed to represent all of the Starbucks in my town, I think we have 3 of them, has a page authority of 1. I'm sorry, but if I was competing against Starbucks, they would never get into that local pack because that just is not enough strength to say that you've done good SEO on your site. Here's another company where the parent brand, Overhead Door Company, does such a poor job of bringing in new leads from the corporate site that the business has its own website. And many of the local operators for this brand do have their own websites. And this is a sign that a brand is likely failing all of its locations. So if you see situations like this, where the local operators are creating their own websites, they're probably not getting very much support from corporate. And it's, you know, pretty much a one-on-one thing, you against them. So what's your technical strategy going to be? Build a really strong technical foundation. Do a thorough audit, get your site in good shape, and remember that sometimes it's easier to start fresh than it is to try to fix a site that's been around for years and has been really Frankensteined and has different types of URLs and the structure's weird, and things aren't all in the right place where they belong. So creating a well-structured site can really take care of a lot of those technical issues for you and that are going to help you to compete. So stay flat, fast, and flexible so that you can improve your site when you want to. And how about with localized content? This is an area where I think that small businesses can have a really powerful advantage over larger companies. This is how I tend to think of the writers for big brands. They hire marketers, they hire copywriters, and they want to create their own content. And most of the time, these marketers and copywriters have no intimate knowledge of the places where the brand's businesses are located. And sometimes they only have cursory knowledge of the industry at best. They really don't have much in-depth knowledge. Their expertise is in writing. So reading Wikipedia and competitor sites and other authority sites, and then rewriting that information with some location terms and some keyword phrases thrown in is pretty typical of what big content producers are doing, whether they're doing it in-house or subcontracting it out to others. But we've all seen this kind of content, and we know that we're not impressed by it, and it does not impress Google either. So what are you going to do? You are the expert in your location and your industry. If you could find a way to share your knowledge the way this local landscaping expert does on his site, you show your readers that you really know your industry and your craft, and that you can be relied upon to help them out with their particular problem. And when you read some of these sites that, you know, that you automatically give them this 100% expert seal of approval, it's like, this guy knows his stuff. That's the kind of website that you want to have, that when your customers come and look at it, there is no doubt in their mind that you are the local expert. If you want to see another good example of localized expertise, take a look at this roofer's website, AB Cairns. A new roof costs thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. And when you browse around on this site, there's going to be no doubt in your mind that they know what they're doing, that they know their materials, they know how to apply the materials properly. And it really meets Google's highest guidelines for quality. It's expert, it's authoritative, and it's trustworthy. And this is the kind of content that your readers want. And they also deserve it, so give it to them. And it's something that very rarely are you going to see a big brand put this kind of expert level content on their websites. Photos are also really important content on your site. Take a look at these photos. We can, I'm sure everyone out there can realize that these are stock photos. They look fake because they are fake. And when brands put photos on their sites, they either tend to actually be stock photos or they look like stock photos. They'll get one guy, dress him up in the Roto-Rooter uniform and take his picture and then use that same picture on every single local landing page on their site. So even when they use real photos, they're really unique photos and they're rarely optimized for that location. And quite often they're not even real photos of that location. So this gives you a huge advantage. You have an opportunity to show people that you are real, that you're local, that you take personal pride in what you're doing, in whatever it happens to be. You're not a chain managed from a distant office. You're not a franchise that's bound by corporate policies. You're a neighbor, you're a local, you know your area, you know your marketplace. Your real photos are going to communicate this to your customers, and it's really going to help you build trust and confidence when they see these real photos instead of these junky stock photos that everyone out there knows are not real. Another thing that you can do that big brands rarely take the time to do is to optimize for your people, whether it's with trying to get practitioner listings showing up in the local pack or with your organic SEO efforts. It's quite easy to compete against them with organic optimization of URLs that have info on them about your people, your key staff members. It's a bit trickier to get practitioner listings ranking in the local packs these days, but it can be done. And this is an example of an orthopedic surgeon who's ranking first in the local pack against some fairly strong competition in a big city. So, you know, you do have an opportunity to rank your people organically for things like best plumber in Dallas. And you also have an opportunity to rank, sometimes you have an opportunity to rank your professional people in the local pack by getting them what we call a practitioner listing. Guarantees are another place where big brands just do a terrible job. Most of them have so many stipulations in their guarantees, no one can understand them. No one wants to read them. When I look at some of these things, it's just blah, blah, blah. And you don't even know, even after you've read it, you don't even know what the guarantee or the warranty is. And this is very typical of just about every big brand. They might as well be saying, buy our crap, because because that's really how consumers view it. This is just BS to have to try to read through a guarantee like this and understand it. And sometimes when you're making a big purchase, a set of tires for your car or something like that, you really want to know what that guarantee is. It's important to you. It's helping you to make a decision on who's going to get your business. So be the guy that gives a really good guarantee rather than something like this. And here's a very simple example. Any of you who've ever watched any of my webinars have probably seen me talk about my friend Brad Salmon at B's Garage Door Services. It's a one-man garage door business. He maintains his own site, takes his own photos, writes his own text. There's absolutely nothing polished about this site, but it's very friendly and genuine. And Brad personally guarantees, and I quote, "You will be satisfied with our service and workmanship." A lot of people want to patronize local businesses. So assuring them that you're not going to let them down is going to go a really long way in earning their trust. And when they see your picture and when you are personally making a guarantee to them, that is really good for building their trust. So think about the guarantees on your site. And even if you have to have some long legalese type guarantee somewhere on your site, put plainly on your site what your real guarantee is for people, so that they can tell that if they buy that $800 set of tires, you know, you're going to stand behind it. What on-page content is most effective for ranking? This is kind of an old survey that I think Bright Local did of local marketers, asking them what on-page content they felt was most effective for ranking. And 68% of them said the title and metadata. This is something we have complete control over. And this is also something that sometimes we don't pay attention to. We do it once, we walk away and forget it. Here's an example of a decent title and meta description for an air conditioning repair place in Austin. It's got its phone number, it's got a call to action, it's got its keyword terms, talks about trust. Not bad. But look at this ad, look at this paid ad that Stans is putting out, where he talks about 20% off of service calls, free energy audits, 0% financing for 3 years, a coupon for a precision tune-up, his Better Business Bureau rating. When I look at these, I'm much more compelled to call him from his paid ad than I am from his organic ad. So take a look at your paid ads and make sure that they're as good as you can make them, that what's working on those, that you can transfer it over to your organic listings, your page meta titles and descriptions, so that you can have even better content in the SERPs, better advertising showing up in the SERPs for you. So what's your content strategy going to be? There are some consumers who want to do business with a big brand. They perceive some kind of security by doing business with a big brand. But there are just as many others that prefer to patronize a local business when it can meet their needs and when they feel like they can trust it. So if you're a small local business, embrace that realness, embrace that localness. Show real photos. I mean, there's no doubt this guy's down in a ditch fixing something. Show this to your customers. Share your expertise and offer easy to understand guarantees, and you're going to win those customers who want to do business with someone other than a big brand. And I love this quote by Zig Ziglar, where he says, "People do not wander around and then find themselves at the top of Mount Everest." You really need to come up with a plan for creating new content or improving your existing content, and then you have to execute on that plan. Let's talk about reviews a little bit. These can offer you some really unexpected opportunities if you'll take the time to try to see where those opportunities are. And we have to remember that good reviews matter. They encourage others to call you or come to your place of business. And these are reviews that my friend Brad from Bee's Garage Services got that actually proved that. These people are all saying they called him because of all the great reviews he had online. With big brands, The locations tend to get associated with all the reviews, or the locations get punished for policies that come down from corporate that they really don't have anything to do with. And another thing with big brands is people are less inhibited about complaining about them. So sometimes you can find some really juicy stuff that you don't normally find on small business websites, because people are tend to be a little bit kinder to most small local businesses. So this is an a weakness that you may be able to exploit, an exploitable weakness, I guess is the way to put it. So if reviews tend to complain about particular things, then build up your reputation for doing those things better. For example, if your competitor is always late for appointments, then make it a point of always being exactly on time. And when you ask people to review you, you might mention, "Oh, was I on time? Did you appreciate the fact that I was on time?" If they ask you about, you know, what can I possibly say about you in a review, which we all get quite often. And as an SMB, you own all your reviews and you can greatly influence them. You know, if you are a location and there's a call center that's answering the phone for you and somebody's rude there, there's nothing you can do about that except complain to corporate about it. But if they call your phone and you answer it, or somebody sitting across the office from you answers it and they're rude, that's something that you own. That's yours and you're responsible for it and you better fix it. So make sure that you are providing really good service, that you are earning good reviews from people, because you cannot blame your bad reviews on anyone else except for your particular business. So read the reviews of your big brand competitors and learn what customers are typically complaining about. In this particular example, it's a big carpet cleaning chain, and their San Diego office got all of these bad reviews complaining about extra charges that they had and fake, what they thought were fake discounts and that sort of thing. They've got really bad reviews about that. Everyone who's looking on Google at their reviews is seeing these. So what do you do about that? Well, here's what one of his competitors did about it. Right smack on their homepage above the fold, they addressed the fact that they set themselves apart by offering an all-in-one price, and tell you what else is included in that. And this is in really big font at the top of the homepage. So check your competitors' reviews, look for typical complaints, try to be better than they are, and make sure that you tell your customers about it and that you are better than they are. Then remember that the quality raters guidelines now talk extensively about the business's reputation and how that should affect the web page ratings and the quality ratings for the website. So if sentiment isn't yet baked all the way into the algorithm, Google's definitely working on it. Google wants to show searchers the best businesses within the area they're searching, not just the businesses that can afford the best SEOs. And this has been Google's goal the whole time. They want to show you the best businesses. They've just had, it's been a very long, strange journey getting there, but they are getting very close to that right now. And especially when people are able to sort and choose the types of results they'd like to see according to ratings. So, what's your review strategy going to be? Always keep trying to improve your business. Make your products better, make your services better, make your customer service better. That's going to result in good reviews that attract new customers, and then those new customers are going to leave even more good reviews and attract even more new customers. So continually try to be improving, take feedback to heart, and use it to make your business better. Also, people search for the best, and Google wants to show them the best. So if you can keep improving until you're one of the best, you're going to be rewarded with even more exposure in the SERPs by getting on all these best lists on popular, well-ranking sites like TripAdvisor and Yelp that rank well in the search engine results pages. So your main strategy is going to be to target your big brand competitors' weaknesses by looking at their reviews, trying to spot common problems and complaints, and then trying to make sure you're not doing the same things they're doing and promoting those things as your strengths. For social, this is another area where we think, oh, we can't compete with big brands. I don't have three people that can monitor every social media channel 24 hours a day. We think that because they have full-time dedicated professionals managing their social media for them, that this is a place where we can't compete. But in general, big brands really lack authenticity. And this is a generalization. There are certainly some that have gotten social right and continue to do so. But most of them, it all seems a little bit fake. They're not really familiar with company locales. And even when you get in touch with somebody, they usually lack the power to do anything about the problem that you might be complaining about. And here are just some rants about people on Twitter complaining about United Airlines. And, you know, this does not really help the brand. According to one customer, it's their social media is full of corporate customer service speak that means nothing. And I think that with a lot of big brand competitors, you're going to find the same sort of thing. There's somebody that responds quickly. They offer to help you. But then when you tell them what you need to have done, I'm sorry, I can't do that for you. You, on the other hand, there's one more. Yeah, this is a great quote. I just love this tweet from Not At All United. Customer service and customer interaction are something they'd like customers to think is the same thing. And in many instances, I think the social media arms of big brands don't do anything but frustrate people and make them angry. You need to take the opposite approach. You're free to do whatever you think is right to help your customers, and you have the power to do that. And they're going to appreciate that, and it's going to help spread the word about your company when you do it. So what's your social strategy going to be? You can't be everywhere all the time the way a big brand can, but you can set up a listening post. You can monitor social media so that it alerts you when your attention's needed, and when you can, then you can respond to it. And I found that Hootsuite is probably the easiest thing to use for this for most small businesses. And then if you want to be social, consider devoting resources to email marketing rather than social media. This is something that you can do once a week or once a month. You can put it into your schedule to take care of it. And this is going to allow you to be social with customers that already have interacted with you or have indicated they want to interact with you. And it probably has a lot more potential for you than spending your time trying to be on all the different social media platforms at the same time. If you do have a penchant for social media, however, I'd suggest that you concentrate first on Facebook before you go out to other places. And again, this is not true for every single business, but for most types of small businesses, that's the place that holds a lot of promise, and I think the most promise. And the reason for that's because Facebook is going after small business right now, and it's managing to do a lot of the things really well that Google wanted to do with Google Plus and couldn't really pull off. Let's see. Okay, now we're going to talk a little bit about linktations. So this is just a term that I use for local links and local citations mixed together, because citation, even no followed links, which would be what I would think of as a formal linktation, carry a lot of weight in local search, and they're all quite important. And linktations in the latest 2017 local search ranking factors survey that was presented just about 5 or 6 weeks ago at Local U Advanced. It turns out that the survey shows that about 31% of the local search algorithm is probably based around links and citations. So we're talking about a mention on a relevant trusted source with or without a link, even if the link is no follow. They're all valuable in conveying brand prominence. And citations are, it's the consistency of the citations that's important. And you really, it's extremely hard for big brands to deal with this inconsistency across many, many locations. If you've ever tried to clean up one location with poor consistency of the NAP plus URL, you can just imagine what a nightmare this is if you've got 10,000 locations that you have to check and try to make sure that they're clean. So brands rarely are going to make the effort to ensure that everyone's, using the official NAP. They can have a really high turnover of locations and people. Think about insurance agents, for example, or real estate agents. They often don't have a very good strategy set up for closing old locations and opening new locations or moving locations. And they rarely have a good strategy to clean up NAP confusion. So if the brand locations that you're competing against have NAP confusion, that's a definite weakness, and it's going to be easier for you to try to outrank them. But it's not like you can control what the NAP of your big brand competitors looks like to Google. The thing you can control is that yours is clean and that it's not holding you back in any way. So make sure that you get it right once with your NAP. Monitor it periodically, and then quickly deal with any new problems that may pop up. And this is going to give you a little bit of an advantage against the brand in specific locations. With links, one size does not fit all. And this causes all kinds of problems for multi-location companies when it comes to link building. They tend to get links going to their homepage, and then the site structure a lot of times doesn't push the authority from the links down into all the pages that need it the most. And you can imagine if there's like a state, city, neighborhood level, and even maybe hyper local levels in their store directories, how much page authority they need to spread around the site to try to get all of those locations to compete in the SERPs. So that's one disadvantage they have. You, on the other hand, can try to get more links to your inner pages of your site, and that where that rarely happens with big brand sites. And big brands are always trying to use scalable tactics. And for the most part, scalability really means cheap and easy. I mean, not that there aren't ways to scale things that aren't cheap and easy and can't be useful for you. But for the most part, people are looking for the easy way out and they're looking for the cheap way out. And you think about the budget a big brand may have for SEO. If they've got 10,000 locations, how much does that actually give them to devote to each of those 10,000 locations? So the scalability is a real something that really holds them back, and a lot of times it's something they can't do much about. And Google has really discounted most of these scalable, cheap and easy tactics. Unfortunately, a lot of the time, scalability means cheap and inexperienced help too. So big brands are really, really letting their locations down, and it has an area where you can have a big advantage if you'll put the effort in. So what's our linktation strategy going to be? The thing you need to remember is the best links and citations are the ones that have the most potential to get new customers into your door or to get them to call you or to email you. And in general, think about doing the kinds of things that you would do to promote your business if the internet didn't exist. These are things that big brands are not going to do. Occasionally, you will get a local operator of a brand who will do some of these things, but a lot of the time they're sitting back waiting for corporate to do their marketing for them. So if you will take the initiative to do these things, you will not only get links, but you'll get a lot more attention in your own market area that's going to pay off for you. And you want to do things like talk to the people you know and personally ask them for links. You want to volunteer in your community and try and get a link from the sites that are the charities or nonprofits or government sites that you're volunteering for. Support local causes in exchange for a link. Try to cultivate referral relationships that you might already have. Join local groups and network in person. These are all going to help you build your brand in your own market area. That's what Google's trying to reward businesses for with local algorithms. And it's things that the big brand corporate cannot do for the local operators. And very few of the local operators are going to do them for themselves. So remember that people prefer to do business with big brands sometimes, but not all the time. Sometimes they prefer to do business with small brands. So don't try to imitate what big brands are doing. Go your own way. Do what's right for your particular business at any given time. Make sure that you're flexible and that you stay focused and that you're ready to move fast. And most importantly, don't give up, even if you're David fighting against Goliath, because we all know how that one turned out. And back to you, Casey.
All right, Mary, fantastic. Lots of information there, folks. It looks like we've already got some questions coming in. Now is your chance. There, of course, you will have access to the full recording after we're done here, but this is your chance. If you've got a local question that you want Mary to expound upon, maybe there was a concept, a tool, a strategy that she mentioned in this deck, now is your chance to go straight to the source. Give a little bit more information. So on that note, I'm going to go ahead and start off with a question for you real quick. Mary, you mentioned the power of reviews, and that can't be understated. You know, I know that, you know, as someone, for example, my wife, we have a local law firm, the Milner & Marquis LLP. It's an immigration law firm. We're in a very competitive niche in San Diego. One of the things that my wife and my mother-in-law have done extremely well is reviews. And when you're going to see that if you search Milner & Marquis or Tiffany Marquis or Nora Marquis or whatever in Google, they have a very healthy knowledge panel coming up. Now, I had read recently that Google was testing new local knowledge panels without maps. Have you heard anything about that, or is that something that you could expand upon a little bit? That wasn't something you mentioned in the presentation.
Local knowledge panels without maps. So you're talking about a local business and their panel for brand search does not show a map on it?
Right. I'm going to go ahead and paste over privately an example. It looks like this is relatively new information, but it looks like it's something that Google is actually pushing out over the last couple of days. And basically, it'll describe a local business, in this case, a jewelry store in Williamsville, New York. And they've got, you know, they've got the regular knowledge panel information, but there's no actual map in there. Looks like I think they're just testing stuff without maps in search. And I was just curious if you knew anything about that. It's relatively new, so I apologize for putting you on the spot. But I'll see the information.
I have not seen this before. But when you look at this particular example, this is Mike Blumenthal's pet client, and there might be something about it on his blog.
Right. And folks, for those of you who recall that might be a little lost, I went ahead and pasted the note over to you in the Q&A so you can take a look at it. Again, something you should be aware of, especially if many of you on the call are offering local SEO services. Google's always testing these new things in the wild. And of course, course, when we find more information on them, we'll let you know. So let's go ahead and get into some other questions. We'll start with Cheryl. Cheryl had a question concerning, you ran some page authority scores during the on your deck, Mary, and she just curious where you got those stats. So you could just tell her that, you know.
That's from Open Site Explorer, which is a Moz tool. I think anybody can use it 3 times a day free. If you need to use it more than that, they have a subscription plan.
Right, and I'll go ahead and paste over a link to that, folks. Link Authority, Page Authority, that is a Moz-invented metric. It's been around since about 2004. We have some resources on it in Search Engine News if you want to read up on it a little bit. But clearly, it's a logarithmic scale, which means that it's extremely hard. It's easy, for example, to move from a page authority score of 1 to 20, but it's much harder to move from, say, 40 to 50. So as Mary was saying on her deck, when you see something with a page authority score of 1, they clearly have done nothing to promote that page, because you can get a page authority 1 score by just launching the page completely.
Page, yeah.
Yeah, just by putting up the page. So it's something to be aware of when you're looking at those metrics. Okay, so next question. Kate's got a good question here. She says she has a lawyer client prides itself on its personal expert caring service. They have a bad review complaining about a member of staff. They have replied and explained the lawyer in question has left the practice. There is only one other review. I think we need to drown out the bad review with lots of good ones. Is that the right thing to do? There are lots of very happy clients, so this really was an exception. Mary?
Yes. Yes, that is definitely what you want to do. And the easiest way to start doing that is you know who your happy clients are. Over about the past year or so, I would start contacting them and asking them to leave you some reviews. However, I did an audit for a law firm not long ago where they went totally overboard on this, and they got like 50 reviews a week for 4 weeks after having no reviews whatsoever. So do this in a reasonable way.
Right.
And it doesn't take a lot of reviews to kind of drown out that bad review. It'll get pushed down the page fairly quickly. And having all those other good reviews kind of, you know, moderates that complaint.
Right. Now, is there still a minimum number of reviews necessary to activate the star ratings?
You know, we don't know anymore.
Okay.
For a while, within the last month, we were seeing stars for businesses that only had one or two reviews on the site. So it's not that common. So we're not sure anymore.
Right. That's a good point. And I bring that up again based upon, you know, when I was marketing Tiffany's website, the Milner & Marquis website, I really got them involved in reviews about 18 months ago, and we just basically, when we generated the sixth review, the ratings popped in. So I was curious. But again, 18 months is an eternity in local SEO. So who knows what that number is now. But a very, very good point. Okay, let's move on to another question. Looks like Debbie has a question here. Mary, you recommended Hootsuite. Would you please expand on what Hootsuite does and what you might use it for?
So Hootsuite's a tool that lets you monitor multiple social media sites at the same time, and you can also monitor particular people. You can set up alerts. It gives you a lot of different ways to use it. I think the best thing to do immediately is to set it up just to monitor what's going on if you're not already active in social media, because if people are complaining about you on Twitter or Facebook, you need to know about that. So it's a tool that's going to alert you to those types of things. There are other tools that do the same thing. But this one does have a free option that I think works pretty well for most little businesses.
Very, very true. And again, there are options out there. I use Sprout Social. Excuse me, folks. So Sprout Social does the same thing. It's just a management platform. Most of the management platforms you'll find, including Hootsuite, will cover Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Some of them you can also add Pinterest or some of the other networks on as add-ons. So if you're on the call and you have multiple clients or you have multiple accounts like many of us do, definitely pulling that information into a management suite makes perfect sense. Okay, let's move on to another question. And I apologize now for butchering your name. Mihu, Mihol, starts with an M. I'm just going to start calling you Mi. Okay, so Mi has a question. You mentioned in the beginning to get the professional listed as a professional listing. And I think this is part one of a question. And he or she goes on to say that my client is an allergist and is running her clinic. Would it be recommended to have herself listed as a professional besides two locations of your clinic?
So when you are the only practitioner in a practice, so if she's the only doctor practicing, then she's only entitled to one listing, and that can include both her business name and her personal name.
Gotcha.
If you have more than one practitioner at a business, then the business can have one listing, and each of the practitioners can have their own professional listing.
This makes perfect sense. All right, continuing on here, got another question here from Kate. Should small businesses look at LinkedIn if they are business to business? Mary?
You know, my personal opinion on that is that LinkedIn has turned into a cesspool of salesmen.
And
I think that it had a lot of potential, but I think LinkedIn has gotten really greedy, and that a lot of businesses have gotten a little greedy using it, and they just use it to spam the heck out of anybody that they can get their hands on.
Makes sense.
So, you know, I think that if you were to do it in a way that was anti-spammy, that it might have some use for you. But there are so many instances where I get a request from somebody who's got biz dev in their title. I accept it, and they immediately start spamming me with emails.
You and I both. We're going to start a club.
Right. So, well, I think everybody's experiencing that.
Yeah, I think at least once or twice. Let me just interject and say that, you know, with regards to LinkedIn, because I use LinkedIn quite a bit, but again, I don't use it much for marketing businesses individually. What I have found LinkedIn to be good for is generating a quality citation, because if you go ahead and set up a company page, that company page, boom, immediately ranks in the top 5 or 10 of Google. For example, if you were to type in MediaWise into Google, the LinkedIn company page is like one of the top results. If you type in Milner & Marquis, same thing. So if you're looking for a quick citation, or if you want to go ahead and control more of the real estate in search, I say just setting up a company page, very easy to do. You can tie it to your personal account. Probably one of the few benefits of LinkedIn left out there. Okay, continuing on here, it looks like we've got a question from Cheryl here. Cheryl is asking, Mary, what is your favorite information to put on a contact page?
Nap in schema.
There you go.
I can only put one thing, but I would also embed a Google map. I would make sure that I had the email, you know, all the different ways that someone could contact me so that they could choose whichever one worked best for them. Directions are sometimes very useful for people. What's around you could be useful, especially if you're not that obvious. When people are driving down the street, maybe they don't see your sign. So think about what would be useful for you as a customer to see on the contact page of that type of business. And that's what you want to put on the page.
Awesome. Okay, continuing on here, looks like Justin has a good question here. Justin asks Mary, would all awesome 5-star reviews for a business deter customers from using your company because of the lack of realism? And he puts on to say that not everyone thinks you do excellent work. Thoughts?
I think Get 5 Stars did a blog post on this within the last couple of months where they did a study, and they found that it's better to not have a perfect score, because we don't as Matt McGee says, we don't live in a five-star world, that no business is perfect. But, you know, at the same token, if everyone gives you five-star reviews, you know, what are you going to do about it? You're certainly not going to refuse them or say, oh, would you go back and make that a four review instead of a five? So I think that if you have, like, you know, I think it can work for you either way. If you have a lot of five-star reviews, people are going to, you know, say, oh, this business is perfect. They might expect a little bit too much of you when they come in. But if you really are impressing every single one of your customers so that they're giving you five stars, what can you do about it? Except just keep doing it.
Very good point. And I've gone ahead and found and pasted over that article that Mary was just referring to from get5stars.com. So you can all review that at your convenience. Okay, moving on. Michael has a question here. Michael says, we have a famous architect as a client. On his New York Google Plus page, someone wrote, Mr. Marino, you are a great architect, but you employ some very racist people. And the racists that I am speaking of are not white in color, end quote. I guess Michael's question is, how do they get that removed, or can they get that removed? Is there anything they can do with regards to minimize its impact?
Yeah, I'm not sure you could get that removed, but that wouldn't keep me from trying. Mm-hmm. I would try to get it removed. But if I couldn't get it removed, then I would just do as we were talking about earlier and just try to get a lot more good reviews to kind of drown it out.
Right, and that's a very good point. And let me just say that this is a personal situation that most business owners go through. As an example, I usually, if you type in MediaWise into Facebook, I have a MediaWise business page for myself that I honestly don't use a ton. And I started using it because I was getting a lot of work within the food blogging community, and they seemed to want to go to Facebook and research me there. So I started updating the page and filling it out with more information and generating reviews, because that's where people tend to want to generate reviews. And I ended up having someone who I had never met, who I have absolutely never worked with, I've had no association with, just go in and leave a 0 out of 5 stars review. They didn't even leave a comment. They just chose 0 out of 5 stars. It was some guy based in the Eastern Bloc countries. it made no sense to me at all. It's still there, which is hilarious. And Mary might remember this. So I reached out to Mary and others. I'm like, hey, you know, I guess I should start generating some more reviews on my Facebook page so that I can get up this. Right now it's 0 out of 5 because that was the first review, excuse me, that was ever generated on the page. And now there's like 21 reviews on the page, and now the page is like 4.8 out of 5. It helps. So, you know, quality and quantity do go hand in hand. So I wouldn't worry too much about one bad review, especially, you know, when they're completely bogus. It's all about aggregate statistics. So the more of those you can generate, just make sure that you space those out and that they look natural. Honestly, my 4.8 out of 5 looks more natural than someone who's a 5.0. So I'm totally fine with it. I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. And I know hard to convince the client of that, Michael, but the same can be said in your situation.
And with this particular situation, I would encourage him to respond. Mm-hmm. And say, I'm not aware of who this is. Can you please contact me so that we can resolve this within our office? At least respond and say that, you know, to show that you are concerned about it and that you do want to try to get to the bottom of the problem.
Right. And what I'll do is, you know, we're going to go ahead and paste over the support information on that procedure from Google. I'll paste it over here so that you can take a look and read it, including a link to the content policies that govern this for your review. But I don't think you're going to have much luck getting this removed. So, you know, again, we'll give you the information. You can follow the procedure. But I think Mary and I are in agreement that you probably just want to, you know, if you respond to it, present your case, I have no record of you, or we can't confirm you're a customer, really surprised about this, something along those lines. And then move on.
Yeah.
So, Okay, so Kate has another question here. No, she's just responding. Great, thank you both. Very interesting. Totally agree. Too much spam on LinkedIn, but love the citation idea. Awesome. Okay, continuing on here. Ron has a question. So should we just go to Facebook and seek reviews? Where or how else can we seek reviews? I have a medical doctor client for whom a Facebook present does not make any sense. Mary?
Okay, so the place that's going to have the most impact with reviews is Google, because that's where most people are seeing it. What I would suggest is that if you're not getting reviews, if nothing has happened with this business so far that's getting it reviews, that you need to sit down with them and show them their reviews or lack of reviews, show them their competitors' reviews, and tell them that it's time to come up with a review strategy, and then you need to do it. And you know, you can do this with something as simple as handing people a card when they come in. There's a lot of ways to do it. But I've found that if you have a business that's not really into reviews yet, that one of the best things you can do for them is get them hooked up with some kind of review software that's going to help them facilitate getting more good reviews. And the one that I prefer is Get 5 Stars, but I do have to say that I'm business partners with a couple of the guys who are principals in Get 5 Stars. So I am definitely biased, but that's the one that I use. I think it's very it's cheap enough that it's not going to cause anybody any hassles. Even the smallest business can get a lot of value out of it.
Okay, sorry, I was told that my typing may be distracting you, so as I'm typing in resources for all of you, I'm trying to mute myself where possible. So I apologize for the apparent sausage quality of my fingers. They must be causing a lot of feedback. So again, I'm going to put them on an exercise regime. We should be good in the future. Okay, so continuing on here, let's go ahead and get to, I think Justin had another question. What is the most important aspect to take away from using Linktations? Mary?
That you can get local citations and links that are really going to help you to rank in your market area, whereas brands have a really hard time getting those.
Awesome. You know, I think we're going to go ahead and call it a day. It looks like we've got most of the questions answered. Mary, if I could just have you summarize just a couple takeaways from the presentation. I know it was jam-packed, lots of stuff you covered, but what are some, you know, maybe give me three takeaways about how the little guy can more effectively compete against that 800-pound gorilla of the multi-locational business in their community?
Well, first, don't think that you can't do it. Go ahead, put in the effort to find out who your competitors are and where their weaknesses are. Because if you don't try, then you definitely can't do it. And then remember that this is going to be different for every single business and every single competitor that you may have. And some of you may have, you know, more than one big brand competitor that you're trying to work against, so you might need to use different tactics at different ones. But I think the main thing to think about is you've got to do the research to find out where those weaknesses are, and then you have to exploit the weaknesses.
Fantastic. So that, great. Is that, you think, your biggest takeaway from this? I mean, I'm not going to let you off the hook. I asked for three, so I'm going to make you give two more. Sorry, it's just how it goes.
Two more. Well,
I
think
you give two more.
I think that reviews are a place where you have a huge advantage over big brands, mainly because if I'm, let's say, a State Farm insurance agent in Glenwood Springs, Colorado, everything that everybody writes about State Farm insurance gets attributed to me. So,
right.
you know, that I think you really have an advantage, the fact that you own your own reviews, that you can help your customers when they have a problem. You can make things right. You can keep things from ever getting on, bad things from ever getting into reviews or on social media anywhere. And in social media, that's another place where I think most big brands do a terrible job. So if you're competing against them, it's not going to take a lot of realness to let people see that you're the real deal, you're the local guy that can be trusted.
Awesome. So in summary, you know, just to make sure you guys got all three of those, Mary's saying again, you have to choose to compete. That's the biggest thing. Number one. Number two, reviews, super important. We hear that all the time, whether it's Mary's presentations or all the local SEO resources we publish at SEN or at Local U. Reviews, very, very big. And of course, number three, social media. No one knows how big you are on social media. If you use a quality monitoring software like Hootsuite or Sprout Social or something along those lines, and you start tracking the sentiment of your brand and then responding when necessary, you can really propel yourself to appear, and I think that's what Mary is getting into, is you can appear much larger than you really are, especially online. So on that note, Mary, as always, it's a pleasure. Thanks so much for your time this month. And
thank
everyone,
Casey.
Thank you, Mary. You'll have access to this full recording probably by the end of business today. Make sure that you let Mary know in both the comments and also in our community online and Mastermind. Let everyone know in the chat window that they really missed out. This was a great presentation. On that note, we'll see you all again later this month for the Mastermind call. Thanks so much, everyone.
Thank you. Bye-bye.